listening to the CCA Podcast.
Welcome, friends and family. We are excited most because we're a growing community here at Calvary, a growing community of faith, and we love doing life together. How about that sunshine in Seattle on a Sunday? Isn't that great? Praise the Lord. We're ecstatic about that. You know, we're all about one thing here at Calvary. We're all about Jesus. And we believe whether it's feeding, clothing, housing, hospitalizing, employing, educating, encouraging, or equipping. We believe that everybody in Seattle and around the world needs to know Jesus. And so we're all about helping as many people as we possibly can find and follow Jesus. And so this morning, if we can agree on Jesus, then we're off to a good start. Again, we're super glad you guys are here. And my name's Ryan. This is my beautiful wife, Linnea. If we haven't had the privilege and pleasure of meeting you quite yet, we look forward to shaking your hand. And now, last week, you embarrassed me by singing happy birthday, and I just want to let you guys know, giving you a heads up, I'm standing next to a leap year baby. So I'm just saying, you know, that's this Saturday. So if you want to, like, text her or call her,
that's messed up.
Bless her in some way, just in case you didn't know, I'm married to a 10-year-old, so we can talk about that later,
no,
though.
No, I'm currently 9. I will be 10 on Saturday. Let that be known. We're almost there. I'm almost double digits.
That's very exciting. There's also some other things that are exciting coming ahead of us, and one of those is the Together. Maybe you want to just talk about that a little bit, but put it on your calendar now, March 20th, for all the women in the house. Sorry, guys, this isn't you. This is for the women. This is a new arm of ministry here at Calvary. Maybe you can just express your heart a little bit, my leap year baby. Just kind of preface.
What an intro. I love that. Yeah. Okay. So I am excited to launch Together Women at Calvary in 2020. And our first event is going to be March 20th. And it's called Friday Night. And essentially, we're going to gather here. We're going to have service in the lobby. We're going to have worship with Michelle Woody. I'll be speaking. We have giveaways. And we're going to have a great time of generations coming together, women coming together, and community to start being established amongst some of the ladies. I mean, it is established, but I would love to be a part of that and just creating opportunities for women of all generations to come together. And so it's going to be March 20th, which is a Friday night at 6:45 over here. And the best part is you guys can get together, we can hang out, and afterwards is a great after party. Can you say food?
Yay.
Free food. I love food. There'll be just something for everybody, and it'll be an opportunity to get to know people. It's very possible to attend here for years and yet know nobody because we bolt for the door because we got to get to that brunch or we got to run home to get home. But we want to create avenues and opportunities for you to get to know each other more than just a hi in the hallway. And these are the opportunities that we'd like to serve for you. So please take advantage of it. Come on the 20th.
A lot of great things happening, a lot of great vision and mission as we move forward, helping people find and follow Jesus together, doing it in this great growing community. A lot of great things happening, one of which was students here at Calvary enjoyed something we want to show you in a video format. This last weekend, we had Nitro, and some of our students went to that great ministry, that day camp with Nitro, and then also a week prior with Pastor Matthew, some students were involved with a great camp and getaway. So Pastor Hallie, Pastor Matthew, leading the charge with our students, check out this video.
On the ashtray, stretch my hands to you.
Life like, this is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie, but it's really very lifelike. Every single night right, every single fight right. I was looking at the gram and I don't even like lights. I was screaming at my daddy, told me it ain't Christ-like. I was screaming at the man. You know it's like
to my dance. Yeah.
How fun, right? How cool is that? I heard it said, if you don't have vision for the future, you have no future. Do you know that students are the future of our great world, of our great city, of our great church? And so we pour everything we can into our students. We're all about students here at Calvary. Amen? Well, we're so glad you're here. We're in the middle, toward the end of our Love Jesus, Love Seattle sermon series. This is week number 7, and the word of the Lord this morning is, Jesus is calling, are you listening? Jesus is calling, are you listening? We're in the book of Hosea, and we've been in the book of Hosea for a few weeks now. We're looking at the fourth chapter in the first verse today, Hosea after the book of Daniel, and right before Hosea is right before the book of Joel, if you're looking for it in the Old Testament. And chapter 4 of Hosea, verse 1 says this, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus is calling. Are you listening this morning? Here's the big idea, okay? And you've got notes in your bulletin this morning that you got on the way. And the big idea this morning is that Scripture narrates God calling all people to intimately know Him through relationship with Jesus. The big idea is that Scripture narrates God calling all people to intimately know Him through relationship with Jesus. Interesting, because in the book of Hosea, the Lord uses Hosea, whose name I want to point out means salvation. The Lord uses Hosea in the gritty story of marrying a prostitute to articulate Jesus' care and concern for all people. It's a narrative of deliverance that was told between 755 and 715 BC, long time ago. And Hosea portrays just how much the Lord truly loves us, because He calls at our worst. God calls at our very worst. And He keeps after us until He saves us all to Himself. Again, Scripture narrates God calling all people to intimately know Him through relationship with Jesus. I had the benefit last week of going downtown and spending some time at the FAC. The FAC is the Fire Alarm Center downtown by Station 10, Fire Station number 10. It's right there in downtown Seattle. And it was really cool because Pastor Scott, I don't know if you knew this, but for decades, Pastor Scott has been a chaplain. And his relationship with the head chaplain of Seattle was able to get us connected with both Fire Chief Harold Scoggins. We had just a tremendous time with the Fire Chief a week ago, and then also some time in the FAC, the Fire Alarm Center. Now, if you've never experienced the FAC, it was pretty remarkable. I remember hearing the FAC real-time calls of operators fielding calls in our great city of Seattle, which is, by the way, 700,000 plus people and growing, Seattle alone. That doesn't include the 3.5 million in the surrounding metropolitan area. I'm just talking the FAC in Seattle, 700,000 plus. And I should say this, in the time that you and I here are talking about the Word of God, there will be between 30 and 40 calls, emergency calls that come in the time, just right here, as you and I are enjoying the company of each other. And I say it this way, I'm sitting there and hearing calls like someone who calls in and says, I've fallen. And they're just crisis. But I've fallen and I'm bleeding. I think I'm bleeding. I'm coughing blood. Real call. And the operator says, ma'am, listen. I need you to listen. Here, can you hear? Ma'am, can you hear me? I need to verify your address. We're sending help right now. Meanwhile, right across the room, someone else, an emergency in crisis, calling out for help. The elevator, it's stuck. I don't know if somebody's in it, but if there's somebody in it, you need to send somebody quick now. This is an emergency. And same thing. Sir, I need you to listen. Can you hear what I'm at? Sir, let's verify. Okay, I got a couple questions for you, sir. Can you hear my voice? Are you listening? The operator asks. Then right behind me, there's another one, and this lady is just going berserk. He's shaking uncontrollably. My husband, some help. So please send help. I'm in crisis. He's shaking. I don't know what's going on. And same thing, the operator. Ma'am, listen. Can you hear what I'm saying? Ma'am, it's going to be okay. Help is on the... Ma'am, listen to my voice. And the operator trying to get the attention. You know, we look at scripture today in the book of Hosea, and I can't help but think, as you and I face crisis sometime or later in our life, as you and I call out for help, as you and I are searching for hope, Hosea picks up the phone call. Hosea says, are you listening? I know you're in crisis. Can you hear what I'm saying? And in the fourth chapter, he says it this way. On the other end of the line, he's saying this morning. Hear the word of the Lord. Can you hear what I'm saying? Jesus is calling. Are you listening? This morning, you may be in the middle of crisis. You may be in a place of needing help. You may be in a place where you really need hope. Hope unleashed this morning. Jesus is calling. Are you listening? Let me give you two contemplative questions this morning in your notes. Number one, whose voice matters most to me? Whose voice matters most to me? You know, this pulpit here is really cool, but what I'm finding is because I have so much stuff, I always come with illustrations and multiple books, and I have so much in my heart that I want to share with you this morning. Sometimes I almost wish the pulpit was three times the size because I have so much stuff. There's so much in my heart I want to share with you this morning, but we'll just focus on these two contemplative questions. Number one, whose voice matters most to me? It's hard to hear anyone when everyone is talking. It's hard to hear anyone when everyone is talking and no one is listening. Do you like to talk more than you listen? Are you like me in that you want to be heard? You want to be validated? You have something to say, huh? Huh? What did you just say? You ever do that? Wait, what? Could you say that one more time? I found that it's especially hard to hear the voice of the Lord when we live in a noisy society. I mean, have you heard what it sounds like out there? Have you ever just paused and just listened? We live in a noisy place. It's just all around us. There's just noise all around us. People moving. The crazy fast speed of today. It's insane. You can keep that going if you want. It never stops, does it? Noise. Busyness. Hurrying here and there. You just keep it rolling, brother. And in the middle of it, the word of the Lord says, hear this, pay attention, listen. Hear the word of the Lord. Hosea is calling out this morning. Listen, are your ears awake? I found that it's this sense of a continuous, partial attention. It's like we're connectedly disconnected, right? It's just,
It's such an information-driven society. It's like if I can hear it, if I can get the information, I think I've heard. I think I've listened, but I'm doing eight of the things at the same time. Like when my daughter's telling me something, trying to get my attention, and I'm hearing her, and I think, well, I'm getting the information, so I'm listening, but I'm busy. It's a continuous partial attention. Do you do that too, or is it just me? We're connectedly disconnected, and beyond the obvious technological advancements all around us in our society, there is the internal noise that we also hear and that we deal with of anxiety, fear, worry. The internal noise of lust and promiscuity and perversion, the noise of hate, the internal noise of anger and strife, and I found the loudest and most shrieking noise that can be silently condemning and depressively deafening are those internal thoughts that we sometimes deal with, like regret. The internal noise, the deafening noise of guilt and shame and discouragement and hopelessness. And then you consider the 24/7 newscasters who are trying to persuade, and the loud preachers who are proclaiming. Just how in the world do we hear God's voice in the middle of all that? How in the world, in the middle of all the questions, agendas, and politics, all the opposing opinions and strong emotions and high-stakes relationship matters, all the pain, all the anguish, all the grief, how do we hear the voice of God in crisis when we need help, when we need hope? And then Hosea picks up the line, just like at the FAC. He picks up the line and he says, hear the word of the Lord. I know you're in crisis. Can you hear my voice this morning? Hosea's asking, can you hear the word of the Lord? And all the noise, this was the noise of Hosea's day. Listen to this. He says, hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. Listen to this. This is the pulse, so to speak, of his day. Thank you. You can cut that now. There is no faithfulness, Hosea says. He says there's no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. There's only cursing, lying, and murder, stealing, and adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Because of this, the land mourns, and all who live in it waste away. The beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea are dying. That was his day. And I can't help but read that and think, man, not much has changed. I mean, all that noise and the fish and the sea are dying, death, despondency, hopelessness, a state of seemingly hopelessness. I mean, it just, the city had rejected relationship. This is Hosea's after. This is his big idea, his big point. The city had rejected relationship with God, so the Lord was speaking through their crisis to get their attention. Hear the word of the Lord. So this morning, let's talk about it practically. How do I hear God's voice in the middle of life's chaos? Let me give you three quick things, three ways how to hear the Lord's voice. Number one, stop talking. That's always a good place to start. James says it this way. He says, take note of this, okay? He says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. That is so hard to do when you're opinionated, like me. Don't we do it? Don't we reverse it? We're not necessarily quick to listen. We're slow to listen. We're quick to speak, and we're quick to become angry. We do it in our relationships with each other, and we do it with God, too. In our prayers, anytime we pray, we just talk. And the contemplative silence is rare in prayer, to just pause, to just stop talking. Number two, slow down. How do I hear God's voice in the middle of life's chaos? Stop talking. Slow down. Do you ever feel overextended? Do you ever feel overwhelmed? Do you ever feel just hurried? I've heard it said that in our day and age, hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life. Hurry. I got to hurry here. I got to hurry there. Dallas Willard says it this way. The wisdom of Dallas Willard, he says, you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. And just because I'm holding still doesn't mean I'm not hurried. Because I could be in one place and my mind is still going a million miles. And anybody know what I'm talking about? How do I hear God's voice in the middle of life's chaos? Number one, stop talking. Number two, slow down. Number three, observe the Sabbath. It's the juxtaposition of being restless and resting. It's the dichotomy of, we wrestle with both all the time, right? I mean, I like to think of it in terms of Chick-fil-A. You know me by now, I like food. Anytime, you know, I mean, let's just, don't you? But you know what I found out? I found out on Sunday, you could go to any Chick-fil-A you want, but you're not getting anything. Because Chick-fil-A is what? They're closed on Sundays. They observe the Sabbath. They rest. The owner made up his mind a long time ago. This is a non-negotiable that we're doing. And check this out. It's interesting to me because Kate Taylor from Business Insider says, despite being open 14% fewer days a year than competitors, Chick-fil-A is dominating the fast food industry. I want to say it this way this morning. Don't fall into the trap of being constantly on the go. How do I hear God's voice in the middle of life's chaos? Perhaps we consider stop talking. Perhaps we consider slowing down this morning. Perhaps we consider observing the Sabbath. One of the greatest times in my devotions. Oh, it was so great. It was like a weight lifted. You see, I'm a to-do list guy. You've got to know that about me. I'm addicted to productivity. Anybody else like that out there? All right, it's just me, myself, and I. Let me tell you, I got to always do something. I can't watch TV. I could be reading a book. I can't do this. I could be writing a message. I could be working on a book I'm trying to get published. Just constantly going. And one time in my devotions, I had carried all that weight in with me, and I'm reading and thinking about all these things I got to do, and it was like this. All of a sudden, I just stopped talking. I just slowed. I cooled my jets. I slowed down, and I was observing a moment, a contemplative moment of rest, and it was as if the Spirit spoke to me, which, by the way, when the Lord speaks to me, it's not audible. It's always in my heart. It's always in a place of internal sensing, where in my spirit, in my heart of hearts, not just my head wisdom, but my heart wisdom. It was as if the Lord said, Ryan, the only thing on your to-do list today is to do nothing. Put that on your to-do list. To do nothing. Do you observe the Sabbath? Do you observe a day of rest? Do you recharge, so to speak? Jesus did. And if Jesus observes the Sabbath, Ryan observes the Sabbath. Rest. It's so hard to do. Maybe that's why it's so hard to hear God's voice, because we just don't slow down. I'm going to encourage you this morning. Step out of traffic, as the Bible says. Take a long, loving look at me, God says. Your high God above politics, above everything. Is God first place in your life today? Oh, He wants to be. It's in the tension of wrestling noise where God speaks. I've heard it this way, and I love this scripture. It's our memory verse this week. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." Would you close your eyes with me just for a few seconds? No moving, no talking. Slow down. Observe just a few moments of rest. Exhale with me. Hard to do, right? Isn't that hard? It's a discipline. In the middle of 750 BC, around that time, scholars have landed on with Hosea, God was calling and he's saying, "Are you listening?" Nothing's changed. Fast forward to 2020, you and I living, breathing, our appointed time right now. Same message. Jesus is calling. Are you listening? Are you listening this morning? I want to recommend a book. This book changed my life. Into the Silent Land. It's in your notes. A Guide to the Christian Practice of Contemplation by Martin Laird. This book I highly recommend. I'm going to put a disclaimer, though. You're going to read the first sentence, and if you're anything like me, it says, we are built for contemplation. I just closed the book, and I just thought for about an hour. We are built. We are designed, fashioned, and formed in the likeness of God to contemplate. Let me read just a little snippet. Martin Laird says, "We must first grow still. This is precisely where we meet the struggle of the human condition. We cannot be still. Even if the body can be still, the mind keeps racing like a runaway train. Our bodies may be at the place of prayer, but our minds are usually not where our bodies are, but instead are at a shopping mall, on a beach, reliving an argument, fearing the future, regretting the past, any place but right here in the simplicity of the present moment. The discovery of this mystery of silence is the grace of a lifetime, the pearl of great price. The best response to this grace is to gather in the folds of this mantle of silence and wrap them around us. Concretely, this means frequent practice. It's a discipline. Just as we cannot expect to be in good health by eating a nutritious meal once a week or be physically fit by walking around the block once a month, so it is with contemplative practice. Like physical health and fitness, the fruits of contemplative practice are seen in regular practice. We're reminded that anyone who merely practices the remembrance of God from time to time loses through lack of continuity what he hopes to gain through his prayer. Regular daily practice is key." Jesus is calling. He's calling out to you and me this morning. Are you listening? There's so many voices vying for our attention. The voices of a bad relationship break, trying to get our attention. A negative doctor's report maybe this past week, trying to get your attention. A denied promotion at work. Despite the voices of discouragement this morning, Hosea reminds us, he reminds you, this is a word from the Lord, he reminds you that your past doesn't define you. Yes, we've all got history, but Hosea articulates, he says, "But I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. You shall acknowledge no God but me, no Savior except me." What is he saying? He's saying, yeah, you've had a bad relationship break, but I am the Lord your God who has brought you this far. You got a negative doctor report, but I am the Lord your God who brought you this far. You're going through some financial stuff. It's tax season. You're getting some negative reports back, but I am the Lord your God who brought you out. He points back and then he points forward. He says, I'm the Lord. You shall acknowledge no God but me, no Savior except me. What's he after? He's after relationship. Will you listen? I'm going to ask you this. Listen now. Will you listen to the defeating voices of your past or a loving God who knows your future and who says, I am. I'm your forgiveness this morning. I'm your hope this morning. I'm your healing this morning. I'm your joy this morning. I am your Savior this morning. Jesus said it this way. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Anybody in here want some good news this morning? I need some good news in my life. I need some good news in my body. I need some good news in my family. Jesus brings it. He has sent me, Jesus says, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. Lord, help me reframe my situation. Lord, help me reframe what seems to be hopeless. Lord, help me, he says, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Our first contemplative question this morning, whose voice matters most to me? The defeating voices of my seeming reality or the voice of a Savior who speaks favor over you despite what you might be in right now? Jesus' voice matters. I want to encourage you. This is the good news this morning. You're an overcomer. You're equipped. Listen to me this morning. You're equipped. You're well able. God's word says you are well able this morning despite what you are in the middle of. The good news is you're a favored masterpiece of Jesus, and he's declaring this is the year of the Lord's favor. Whose voice matters? The comparative voice of what I should be or what I'm not, or God's voice who says, you are because I said you are. The second contemplative question this morning, what is my response to that? What is my response to God's voice is the second contemplative question that we ponder and reflect on this morning. What is my response going to be to God's word? Not too long ago, I was in the gym and I had just worked out and I came in, and if anyone here goes to the gym, it's funny because coincidentally, without fail, I always walk into the locker room and everybody is like around my locker, the one that I need to get to at the same time. I don't know how that works, but it just always happens that way. And so I walk in and I said, you know, jokingly, I said, oh my goodness, look, today there's a traffic jam. Well, look at the traffic jam. There had to be a dozen or so guys around there. And all of a sudden, as I say that, this guy turns around and he's just fuming. His face is red as a tomato. And he points at me and he says, what did you just call me? I said, I didn't call you anything. He said, what did you do? Did you just call me Jackie Chan? I said, dude, I just said, wow, look, traffic jam. I didn't call you Jackie Chan. And he was so upset. I'm looking for my phone. I'm like, brother, I'm married to a Filipino. I'm married to an Asian. I would never, ever in a million years say something like that. You know, I'm just, where's my phone? I got to prove that I'm, you know. Isn't it interesting how sometimes it's hard to hear the true voice of God in the middle of all life's crowded commotion? We get so upset. We'll read a scripture a certain way, or we'll hear a preacher say something, and it messes us up. We just get angry. So much commotion, so much noise, so many people. Hosea restates. He says, God is not condemning a city who has ignored him, but is calling a people to listen and respond. He says, hear the word of the Lord. And that word there, when he says hear, that word, if you look at the original language, is shaman. It means to listen to and obey. Inseparable. You can't listen and not obey. You can't obey and not listen. It's when it says hear the word of the Lord, he's saying to listen is to obey, and to obey is to listen. Completely inseparable. God is saying this morning, are you hearing? Not only just can you hear the word of the Lord, but what are you going to do about it? Like, you can't just hear and not do anything. What's my response, in other words? Contemplative question. What is my response to God's word? He's saying, listen and obey. To what exactly? His word. Look at this. This is very practical. If there's anybody in here who has a phone and needs something very practical, very tangible, download the YouVersion Bible app. Read, listen, watch, and share. It is so cool because you can go to this website here, or you can go to it from your phone, download the app, and use it. You can, whatever you're going through right now, if you're a single and you're desiring, I want to get in a relationship, go search it up. Singles looking for a relationship. If you've just been through a divorce, go look it up. So there's devotions, there's scriptures, there's all, you can go in and you can search anything. I'm dealing with anger, search, look it up. There's a devotion on it. Points right back to scripture. In the middle of life's craziness, in the middle of life's go, chaos and all, what is he saying? He's saying, hear the word of the Lord. Listen to it and then obey. This is a great tool. I'm telling you, it's an awesome tool. If you're looking for a next step as a new believer, download it. If you're looking to go deeper in your discipleship and Christian formation, download it. This is an awesome tool if you're looking for a way forward. Great way to find Jesus. Great way to follow him. Sow for yourself, Hosea says. He says, sow for yourself righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground. For it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. What is he saying? He's saying, keep God's word first place in your life. If there's anything I can encourage you with this morning, in your relationship with the Lord and hearing his voice, get in his word. Get in his word. Get alone with God in the scriptures. Take time every day to have coffee with Jesus and just find the nuggets of truth in his word. Seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. Keep God's word first place. Jesus says it this way in the fourth chapter of Mark. In the words of Jesus, he says, listen. A farmer planted a seed. As he scattered the seed, some of it fell on the road and the birds ate it. Some of the seed fell in the gravel and it sprouted up quickly but didn't put down roots. So when the sun came up, it withered just as quickly. Some fell in the weeds as it came up. It was strangled among the weeds and nothing came of it. Some fell on good earth and came up with a flourish, producing a harvest exceeding his wildest dreams. Are you listening to this? Are you really listening to this? Jesus continued, do you see how this story works? All my stories work this way. You see, the farmer plants the seed, which is the word of God. Some people are like the seed that falls on the hardened soil of the road. No sooner do they hear the word than Satan snatches away what has been planted. And some are like the seed that lands in the gravel. When they first hear the word, they respond with great enthusiasm, yay! But there is such shallow soil of character that when emotions wear off and some difficulty arrives, there's nothing to show for it. The seed cast in the weeds represents the ones who hear the kingdom news but are overwhelmed with worries about all the things they have to do and all the things they want to get. The stress strangles what they heard and nothing comes of it. But the seed planted in good earth represents those who hear the word, embrace it, and produce a harvest beyond their wildest dreams. And so Hosea says, break up your unplowed ground. In other words, check your heart. This morning, as you hear the word of the Lord, check your heart. Where is the word? Where is the seed of the word landing? Is it landing in good soil this morning? Is it landing in a place that can produce a crop? It can bring results. In other words, Are you listening? Can you hear? Jesus is calling. Are you listening? As I was preparing this message this week, it hit me. It hit me like a ton of bricks. It says, listening to Jesus in the Word and obeying Him will enable you, Ryan, to live life with fewer regrets and to make better decisions. Hosea says, sow for yourself righteousness. It hit me. It hit me in the contemplative moment of reasoning. It hit me. It says, listening in prayer and following Jesus' leading, Ryan, makes you better with relationships and way more fulfilled in life. Hosea says, reap the fruit of unfailing love. It hit me that listening to Jesus' word allows a reset. You ever have to reset your cell phone? Reset. Listening to his word allows a reset at things that aren't working. He says, break up your unplowed ground. It hit me. It's that listening fulfills. Listening unleashes hope in my soul. Because Hosea says, with showers of righteousness, God will pour on you. Do you need direction in your life today, church? Do you need God's wisdom? Do you need to hear his voice for what's next? Jesus is calling. Are you listening? You know what he says? He says, I will instruct you. I will teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Five times he says you. Why? Because he loves you that much. Because he wants you to hear hope. Because he wants a relationship with you. So Hosea responds. Hosea responds to the dispatcher, capital D, the operator, capital O, the emergency response in a city full of crisis. Hosea says, the Lord said to me, go. Show your love. He listens. Yeah, I'm listening. And he heard God say, go. Years later, fast forward, stick with me. Years later, in the first century alarm center. See, I went and I visited the fire alarm center. This is the first century, Jesus time, first century alarm center. Jesus echoes Hosea and he says, love the Lord, love your neighbor. He says, all the law and the prophets, including Hosea, who we've been studying, hang on these two commands. Jesus is calling this morning. Are you listening? What am I getting at? Here's what I'm getting at. Go to God, number one. In your life, I want to encourage you. Go to God and then go to people. Love God, love people. You see, Jesus loves Seattle, so we love Seattle. Like Hosea was called in a city full of crisis to respond, Jesus calls you and me too. And the cool thing is, while we're working stuff out in our own life, God can still use you. This is not something we have to be perfect at. This is something we just need to stay in relationship with Jesus with. Jesus says, go. Mission Matthew 28, what we're all about here. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's what we're going to do in a few minutes here. Going to have baptism service. Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. There it is again. Teaching them to obey. In other words, listen and obey. Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus is calling. Are you listening? What is he nudging you to do this morning? What is he nudging you in your life as a next step? These two contemplative questions. Whose voice matters most to me? And what is my response to God's word? What's next? You see, for us, Mission Matthew 28, Unleashed. Let's talk about practical, okay? What does that look like? What does it look like to go and make disciples? What does it look like to help people find and follow Jesus. Well, look over here with me. This is our Jesus Loves Seattle project that we're going to be focusing on for the next few weeks. And in your bulletin, you can flip with me if you want to the very last page, and it says, Jesus Loves Seattle Sacagawea Books. What is that? Well, we're partnering with Sacagawea Elementary School, okay? A lot of these people, we were there just the other week, and we unleashed hope with a sip of kindness coffee outreach where we gave all the teachers free coffee. It was so cool. Just to build relationship, just to love, just to unleash hope, just to do good deeds and shine like Jesus talks about. Well, you have an opportunity to partner. You may not be able to go there physically like many of us do. Every week, we're partnering with Green Lake Elementary, and we're partnering with Eckstein Middle, and we're partnering with Sacagawea, and you may not be able to physically go there. You may. If you can sign up, we want to use you as we'll partner with you and see if you might not volunteer with us over at the school. But if you're not able to go, here's what you can do. Two easy ways to help. Right here. Are you listening? Two easy ways to help. We can partner with our city. Number one, buy the books online and deliver them to Calvary by Sunday, March 15th. There's a link on our website. You go to the website, our church website, and you can follow that link to the Amazon page where you can buy a book. And then once it's delivered to you, bring it by the 15th. Or number two, make a contribution, and we put it there to make it real easy. Text GIVE to 206-557-6322. Designate to JLS Project, Jesus Loves Seattle Project, or you can make a gift in the offering. What are we doing here? We're unleashing hope. What are we doing? We're going. We're responding. What are we doing? We're responding to the voice of the Lord in our city who needs hope, a city who needs to be led to Jesus, a city who by doing good deeds can know Jesus personally. What is this all about today? This is all about helping people find and follow Jesus. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? This morning, I know we've covered a lot of ground. I told you from the beginning, I gave you a warning. I said, man, I've got so much in my heart I want to share with you this morning. So much in my heart. With every head bowed and eye closed this morning, Scripture narrates so clearly God calling all people to intimately know Him through relationship with Jesus. We contemplate these questions. Whose voice matters most to me in a busy, noisy, chaotic world where people are calling into the FAC and people are calling out to heaven and people are calling out to anyone who will listen? Just help! I'm in crisis. I've fallen. I think I'm bleeding. Other people, I don't know if there's somebody stuck in the elevator. My loved one might be. Help! They're shaking to death. Help! Just chaos all around. Just chaos. We're seeking help. Whose voice matters most to me? Could it be Hosea picked up the line today and he's saying, I'm sending hope your way. I'm dispatching hope your way. I'm giving the answer. It's found in God. Would you listen to the voice of Hosea? Would you listen to the voice of Jesus? Jesus is calling this morning. Are you listening? And what is my response to this word? What is my response to this contemplative moment? After I hear the word of the Lord, what am I going to do in response? In response in my life full of need, in response to a city that needs hope. To a school right down the street who needs help with books and paper and supplies. What is my response today to the word of the Lord? Specifically, with every head bowed and eye closed, those that haven't made a decision to follow Jesus, this is a moment for you. And I want to say it this way. In life, those who are looking for hope and those who are searching for joy and peace and haven't found it, I've learned from personal experience that you just keep searching and seeking and calling out and trying to, you'll spend an entire life doing it. I know what I'm talking about because I've done it. I've searched here, there, and everywhere, and addictions and substance abuse and overeating and undereating and position and popularity and status and education and jobs. And I've looked everywhere. I've searched. And you know what I found? Listen to me. I found that the only place where there's real joy and real peace and hope that will last a lifetime is in relationship with Jesus. And so at the count of three, I want to extend an invitation to you this morning. And perhaps you haven't made a decision to follow Jesus, and this morning you found hope some way in this word that's been spoken from the Holy Scripture. And you're like, you know, I'd like to respond this morning to the invitation to follow Jesus. I've never responded before, and I want to do it right now. At the count of three, I want to ask you to raise your hand, and I only ask you to raise your hand so I know who to pray for. One, two, three. Do you want to follow Jesus? Raise your hand, and I'll pray with you this morning. Yeah. Good. Thank you for your confidence. Yeah. Anybody else? Okay. Good. Thank you. I see. Anybody else? Anybody else want to respond to God's invitation this morning? To follow him. Anybody in the balcony? Anybody upstairs? This is a special moment between you and God. This is not my invitation. You're not following me. This is an invitation to follow Jesus, Savior of the world. Okay? Good. Can we all stand together this morning in the presence of the Lord? And my prayer for each and every one of us this morning is this, that God would bless you and protect you. That God would smile on you and be gracious to you. That God would show you his favor and God would give you his peace. And my prayer this morning is that the God of hope would fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That you would overflow in a city that needs Jesus. That you would overflow in a school like Sacagawea Elementary that needs hope. That you would overflow on I-5. That you would overflow in the restaurants. That you would overflow in the libraries. That you would overflow in your place of work. That you would overflow in your relationships with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I can get excited. I can shout. I can sweat. And I just want you to know it's because Jesus loves you that much. I'm trying to articulate this morning a message that our city needs to hear, a message that our world needs to know, that Jesus loves you. So I love you. We're going to switch gears, and now we're going to do baptism. And this morning, this is such a cool part of the Christian walk. Jesus was baptized, so we get baptized. And we're going to move into a time of worship and a time of baptism as the worship team leads out in song. I want to encourage you this morning, if you've never been baptized with the immersion of water, this is your moment right now. I remember when I was baptized, and it was life transformative. We want to offer that. God was very specific with this and us being obedient and offering baptism every month. We saw last year a great number of responses in our first 4-6 months here as pastors. We saw amazing response from people coming forward, people who made a decision and said, I'm all in. And maybe that's you this morning. We want to offer this as an opportunity for you. And so as the worship team leads, would you pray with me that God would move on hearts of men, women, boys, and girls in this time of response? How will you respond to God?